Welcome to another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. I'm Jim Palmer, the host, and I am the Dream Business Coach. I'm here to help you build a more profitable business faster. This is the podcast to learn how you, too, can create your dream business and live your dream lifestyle. I'm the founder and creator of the Dream Business Academy and Dream Business Coaching and Mastermind Program, and I coach entrepreneurs and small business owners and teach them how to create multiple streams of revenue and ultimately have financial and time freedom for themselves. Today's episode is brought to you by the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. It is the country's premier group of forward-thinking, action-oriented entrepreneurs and small business owners who not only care about creating their own dream business, but supporting and helping each other along the way. It's an amazing group. Each member has numerous resources, including private monthly coaching calls with me, the Dream Business group calls, and the private Facebook group, and so many things. Learn more at dreambizcoaching.com. That's dreambizcoaching.com. I can't tell you how excited I am. I am excited slash proud to this week's special guest. It's my daughter, Jessica Rhodes, just a rock star entrepreneur in her own right, and now a published author. Let me introduce Jess, and we'll bring her right on. Jessica Rhodes is the founder and CEO of InterviewConnections.com, the premier guest booking agency for podcasters and guest experts, and she's the acclaimed author of Interview Connections, Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. Jessica is the host of Interview Connections TV, where each week she helps her viewers rock the podcast from both sides of the mic, and she hosts and co-hosts three other podcasts, Roads to Success, The Podcast Producers, and The Parenting Roads. The Podcast Producers was selected by Apple as a how-to podcast show in iTunes and has also been included in the syllabus for a course about podcasting and audio journalism at Western University in Ontario, Canada. Very cool. Jessica has been a speaker at Podcast Movement, Podfest.us, and Dream Business Academy. She lives in Rhode Island with her husband and her two kids. Jessica, congratulations on your book. I am so excited for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's so exciting and awesome and, like, a really big accomplishment that until you actually have the book in your hands, it's like you don't realize how exciting it is. You know, it actually, you don't realize how exciting it is until somebody else says, oh my God, you wrote a book? I'm like, yes. You're just so in it. You don't realize like how big of a thing it is.
You know, a mutual friend of ours and coaching member, Dr. Carrie, I remember telling her when she was writing her book, you're not going to believe how much prominence this book is going to get you, how it's going to help you with the positioning, all sorts of things. And she told me when she held her own book in her hands for the first time, and this is after months and months of writing and editing and stuff like that, she instantly felt her own mindset improve. So forget about whatever other benefits were going to happen. When she held it, she goes, oh, my God. It's almost like I'm paraphrasing, but I'm somebody now. But she really felt she came full circle.
Well, it's true, and I also did an audio book, and I have to say that when you're working on the book, when you're writing it, and your editor's working on it, and you're going through, you know you've read the whole thing, but it's like kind of in pieces and chunks, and then until you do the audio book, when you're literally reading word for word out loud your entire book, I'm going through it, and I'm like, dang, this book's pretty good.
That's good. So I want to ask you about the topic in the book, but you know, my audience of entrepreneurs and small business owners, a lot like yours, they hear about writing a book, and they said, oh, I got a book in me, or I've started a book, or I know I could do this, or I'm just going to put together an e-book, or whatever else is going in their thoughts. You finally said, you know what, I'm going to write a real book. What made you do that? How did you make that decision? Because it's not like you have a lot of free time on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, number one, the huge reason I did it is to stand out in the marketplace. You know, I am in the podcasting industry. When I first started my business, I had the joy of being the only podcast guest booking agency, and boy, those were really nice days. It's not the case anymore. I do have lots of competitors, and the challenge is standing out. You know, there's only one thing better than being the best, and that's being the only one who does what you do. And so I believe I am the best, but, you know, course I think I'm the best. So I put out a book because I have to stand apart from my competition, and I actually have to prove that I know what I'm talking about. So a book is a real credibility booster, and you know, anyone can say, oh, I know what I'm talking about and have good testimonials, but until you actually put out your content and prove that, yeah, I actually know what I'm talking about, I wrote an entire book about it, it's all kind of just words. So it's really just about credibility and, you know, establishing my authority. I do believe this book has already played a part in getting me a big speaking opportunity this year. So I encourage any entrepreneur listening to this, definitely get your book done. Do what it takes.
I mean, it's something I obviously teach. It's part of what I call the million-dollar platform, and there's all these different ways that you can market, grow, and stand out and create create your own celebrity expertise. And the fact of the matter is, just like so many other things on that list, Jessica, actually thinking about it and doing it are two really different things. And, you know, it's kind of like when somebody sets up a website, all of a sudden they're an instant competitor and they got a nice looking website, and then you discover there's little things like no mailing address, or there's just an email form, or there's no testimonials, all these different things. These are all things that set people apart. And, you know, the fact that you are an author now and you have this actual real book is really, I mean, it's one of the things that will set you apart and get you get you noticed in speaking gigs and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
So let's get to the topic on hand, which is how to rock the podcast from both sides of the mic. Just a great tagline. Why is getting booked as an expert so good? Because, and you know, for anybody that's hearing rock the podcast from both sides of the mic, it should be self-evident, but just in case it's not,
yeah.
What do you mean by both sides of the mic?
I mean by being a host of your own podcast as well as being a guest on a podcast. So really rocking it from both sides of the mic, being an amazing host, having a kick-butt podcast, but also being a guest on other shows. And it is really important to do both, but let's first start with being a guest on podcasts is really important and something that every entrepreneur and business owner should be doing, because it gets you in front of really engaged listeners and really target audiences. Podcasters are – so let me back up a second, because a lot of people ask, like, well, podcasting seems to be, like, huge. Are there tons of people listening? And, you know, a lot of people think I might say, well, yeah, everyone's listening to podcasts. Well, the reality is there's a lot of people not listening to podcasts, but the people that are very engaged and they're very targeted. When you listen to the radio, maybe you get in your car, you're driving home, you kind of flip on the radio, you're flipping through to see what doesn't have a commercial on, and you end up listening to something. But when you listen to a podcast, you open up your podcast app, you find a show, you click download, you commit to taking up that much bandwidth on your phone to that show. Like, it's a dedication. So the people that download and listen to a podcast episode are dedicated, they're listening, and they're also very targeted. Podcasts are pretty specific. The topics that they cover, the more niche the podcast is, the more engaged those listeners tend to be. So you're getting in front of a really, really warm lead when you are a guest on a podcast.
That's so awesome. You know, and it's really, again, it's one of those things, should I do this or should I do the other? Should I have a podcast where I'm the host or should I be a guest? I'm sure you get that question all the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's always both. It's always both. It's just a matter of what you're going to do first. So, and it's honestly case by case. I mean, I usually, if someone's like, what should I do first? I would usually err towards be a guest first, because you can, a couple different reasons why you might want to be a guest on a podcast first before starting your own show is, A, you can get used to talking in a microphone, which doesn't come naturally to most people. I would say it comes naturally to me, but it didn't when I first started podcasting. It takes time to get used to speaking in a microphone, to get used to answering questions and being engaging in a podcast, like in an audio format where you don't have your body language and your smile and everything, how to actually speak in a way that makes people want to listen. Those are all things that are learned learned skills. And so by being a guest on podcasts, especially starting with smaller podcasts where maybe there's only 10, 20, 50 people listening, don't worry about that. Get used to it. Get good at being a guest. And then you can get on bigger shows and then you can take to your own platform and have your own podcast. Now, depending on what your business is and what you sell, what your goal is, I might advise you to host your own podcast. In fact, I was talking to someone a couple months ago, and based on what their business was, I said, listen, I usually say, definitely be a guest on shows, but some people have really interesting industries that their business is in, like really specific niche markets. And the number of podcasts that are speaking to those markets is kind of small. So by hosting your own podcast, you're filling a need. There aren't a lot of shows in your niche, so start one. And then the benefit is that you could be interviewing very specific kinds of guests for your show. You can be interviewing potential clients. You can be interviewing the people that organize conferences and book speakers. You can be really strategic about the kinds of guests that you have on your podcast.
That's so cool. Now we call those green room conversations, right? Even though you're virtual or on a Skype line or something like that, we call those green room conversations.
Oh, the green room chats are huge. I mean, business is done in the green room chat. Seriously, the connection you have with the host of a podcast, or if you are the host, the conversation you have with your guest outside of the recording can be the most profitable 3 minutes you might have all year, because I always say that the listeners of a podcast are like the bonus. If you get business from people who hear your podcast, that is extra. That's an extra benefit. That's an added benefit. But primarily where you're going to get results is from the connection and the relationship that you build with the people that you're actually talking with. Not talking to. You're talking to your listeners, but you're talking with the host. You're talking with the guest. When you have a relationship with someone, it tends to be two ways. Hopefully, you talk to them, they talk to you, you get to know them, they get to know you. That's all the host and the guest together. So a lot of what I focus on in my book is the relationship with the guest, the relationship with the host. And it's not about how big the audience is and stuff like that. So definitely focusing on that green room chat. A couple of questions you could ask in that green room chat, because you might be thinking what do I say? I just did a whole interview. After, and you did this really well, Dad, after you are interviewed as the guest, after that recording stops, just say to the host, hey, that was an awesome interview. I know you always say, was that good for you? You can then say, tell me about your business. What is your core business? Because they just spent the last half hour asking you all about you, what you do, your expertise. So just flip it and flip that mic and say, tell me about your business. What do you do? And then you might find that, oh, my gosh, this is someone that I could help. This is someone that needs me and my services. And if you should continue that conversation, maybe schedule a follow-up call, connect on social media, et cetera. So really just focus on getting to know who they are to see where the conversation can go from there.
So how do people get better at being a guest? Because my podcast, I've been doing it for over 4 years. Through your firm, I'm on over 100 shows a year, which should tell you something. It's a very good thing to be doing. But how, other than just doing it, do you get good at being a guest?
So, the first thing, and I hate to tell you this because people hate hearing the sound of their own voice, especially listening to a recording, you have to listen to yourself. So after you are on a podcast, when it goes live, play it. Listen to it. And it might make you cringe at first. Oh, my God, does my voice actually sound like that? Yes, it does. I hate to break it to you. That's actually what your voice sounds like. But listen to yourself, because you will hear, you might say, oh, God, why did I tell the story that way? Or, gosh, I say a lot. You can start to hear the things that you don't realize you're saying and then train yourself to do them better. You could also listen to it. I've totally done this. And because when you podcast for several years, you put out episodes that you're like, that could have been better. And it helps you learn. So I did a podcast recently, and I won't even say if it was the guest or host set, because I don't want to give it away. But I put it on, and I was like, I can't finish this. Oops, not the best one. What should I do better next time? If you can't even listen to your own podcast interview, you know you should probably improve it a little bit. And everyone has bad days, and, you know, there's always some guests that are duds or some shows that, you know, hosts that aren't great interviewers. But my big point here is by listening, you can walk away from that saying, this is what I can do better, this is what I did really well, you know, and this is what I can improve. So definitely just start by listening to your appearances and seeing and just being a self critic.
That's good. Yeah, it's really hard for people to listen to themselves. The other thing, I'll make a couple suggestions on that front, just having been interviewed so many people, is stop having every answer you give to a question contain your URL and your tagline.
Yeah.
You know what I
That's
mean?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I
mean, when you give
– go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to echo that because that's a really great point. I know when I talk to people about, like, okay, what is your goal with podcast interviews, the people that I love are the ones that say, listen, my goal is to teach. My goal is to provide value. I want to make good connections with people. I'm not here to, like, promote and sell something. That is the right mindset to have. When you're going at interviews saying, I really need to sell this thing, you have the wrong mindset. Chances are you're not going to sell a lot of it because you're so focused on selling. And people don't like feeling like they're being sold to.
So how do you, if you are a pod, let's say you're a podcast host, you have your own show. I'm going to ask this question. It'll seem incredibly self-serving, but you know the question. How do people find great guests? Now, before you tee up interview connections, suppose somebody just is starting out and they don't necessarily want to hire a firm yet. Like, what are some ways that they can find some guests?
So we've already been talking a little bit in today's show about the importance of your relationship with the guest, your relationship with the host, and how a relationship is genuinely, it is a two-way street. You get to know somebody, they get to know you. So if relationships are the key to successful interviews, my first recommendation is to look at who you already have a relationship with. So the first thing is look at your inner circle, that circle of trust, especially when you first start a podcast where you're nervous, you're not really good at interviewing yet, you're a little bit awkward, everyone's super stiff when they first start a show, they're like super scripted, so you want to go to the people that you feel comfortable with, so looking specifically at your closest friends in business. So not like your best friend down the street, but look at whatever you do in your business. Look at your closest allies, people that you have a relationship with. I remember when I first started my podcast, I booked some of my biggest celebrity guests that I did have a relationship with are people that I knew and have worked with, but they were the bigger gets. I really wish I waited a few months down the road before I had them on because I was so nervous. But I remember I scheduled Jared Easley, he's a co-founder of Podcast Movement, and I reached out to him like, I'm starting my podcast. I'd love to have you on. He scheduled for the next day. And I was like, I was so not ready. I'm thinking I had at least a week. I called up our friend Lindsay Phillips. I said, Lindsay, I need to record an interview with you today. I cannot have my first interview be with Jared Easley. So, you know, reach out to people that, and of course, you know, that interview with Lindsay is one of my top most downloaded episodes. So it was a great show, but it was a chance for, you know, us to connect more. I, you know, got her some more exposure in front of my audience. So first look at your inner circle because A, you'll just help, you know, you'll be a better host by kind of practicing with people that you're comfortable with. And look at also your clients. If it makes sense for your business and your show, interview people that have paid for what you sell. And I'll give you one really big reason why you would want to do this. It is basically putting a testimonial on your podcast without saying this is a testimonial. I interviewed 2 weeks ago or 1 or 2 weeks ago, my podcast episode that came out on my show was with two clients. So I had like two short interviews and I put them together in one episode, Damian Lupo and Renee Brent. These are two clients who, as mentioned on the episode, they've purchased either, you know, 6 month packages with me or annual packages, and they've been doing really well. So I interview them about how they're doing podcast interviews, how they're getting results in their business. But the whole time they're like, yeah, I invested in a year with you. So I actually got an email, and then I scheduled a call with the person. She goes, yeah, I've only listened to one episode of your show with those two guests that you had. I'm sold. So it's like you're putting people are going to believe your clients so much more that your service is good over you. So by getting your clients on your podcast, they're going to, you know, sing your praises, and it does wonders for people, for like new people that just find you and are thinking about how they need you.
Wow. You know, so in your answer there, you talked about having a big name, you know, come on as a guest, and you didn't want to do it right off the bat. But that's another topic I think you tend to get a lot, right, is people want to start their podcast and interview all the big names, celebrity superstars, whatever that looks like in your industry or niche or whatever. And that's not necessarily the right thing to do for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I talked a little bit about this. I did a Facebook Live today as I launched my book, and I mentioned how I'm not – my book will be on Amazon, but it's not even on Amazon yet because I'm not going for the bestseller status. I'm focusing on building my list and building my business. And similarly, having really big celebrity guests on your show or being on the biggest podcast, it's not necessarily what's actually going to grow your business and what's actually going to get you the clients that are going to pay the bills. So you really want to – the celebrity guests – like being a bestseller on Amazon or being at the top of New and Noteworthy for a day, it's an ego boost. It's fun to say. You can, you know, grab that screenshot and promote it and say, look how great I am, and look how many people love me, and look how big this guest is. But unless that translates into people actually placing orders and purchasing what you have to sell, I don't really care. You know, so I had a six-figure business when I had 200 people on my email list. I could have had 5,000 people on my email list and 50,000 in revenue. I would prefer more money over, you know, 5,000 people on my email list. So it's really having those big celebrity guests. Very rarely do I hear from podcasters that the big celebrity guests are the ones that actually produce the revenue results in their core business, which is, at the end of the day, I mean, I wrote my book for business owners and entrepreneurs, so there's obviously people that their main goal is to have a podcast with a huge audience of celebrity guests, and they don't care if they make money for it. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking at business owners who actually want to have results in their business, and celebrity guests are not going to get you those results. Most likely.
It really is an ego boost, and in my opinion, and of course you know that because we've been working together for a while, you know, whether it's saying, oh, look, oh, I have X, Y, and Z on my show, or I made bestseller status, and then, of course, if you peel the onion back enough, it's bestseller status for a two-minute period within a subset of a subset of a subset within Amazon in Europe or something. But, you know, and to me it's like, well, what does that actually do for your business? So I think that's really, really great advice. But, you know, how do you monetize? I mean, that's really why anybody would do anything in their business, whether it's authoring a book or having a podcast or videos. How do you monetize that? And with some marketing, it's not monetizing it immediately. It's, you know, how is this going to produce an ROI? I'm sure you have people ask you that question.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to learn how to monetize it. And monetize can mean a couple different things. It could mean, how do I actually get people to pay to advertise on my show? That is definitely one way that you can monetize a podcast. More often than not, for the people that I speak to, business owners, it's how do you actually make your podcast interviews something that lead potential clients to your website, to join your email list, to want to work with you. So number one, you have to be creating content that is relevant to your potential clients. So for example, and this will happen over time. It's not like you just figure this out and immediately you get it. Most podcasters, and we're talking kind of about the host side of the mic, but could be the guest too. Most podcasters create a show and they think this is the content, this is the branding, this is the right positioning, and they realize it attracts slightly different market than what they were hoping to. So they might have to restructure or tweak it, or, you know, maybe it's changing the kinds of guests you bring on your show, or it could be changing the title and the tagline of the podcast to, you know, alter what the branding is. You know, so I haven't even told you this yet, Dad, but I'm actually going to be shifting the branding of my podcast to go from Roads to Success to Interview Connections, How to Rock the Podcast from Both Sides of the Mic. Because when you shift the branding and tweak the content that you're talking about, the goal is to attract the right listeners. I did some live webinars and I realized, oh, I'm getting people here, but they're not the right people. So to effectively monetize a podcast, you have to, number one, just get the right people listening to your show and listening to your interviews. That is the same advice I give to people who actually want to get sponsors and advertisers. You need to be able to prove to advertisers that you have the people that they want to be speaking to. So really cultivate a very clear and specific target audience for your podcast. That is the first and most important step you can take to monetize your podcast.
I know you do some training when I think you call it onboarding when you get a new client mm-hmm. there. Is part of that teaching them how to be a good guest? You know, I mean, people know their niche, mm-hmm. they know whatever it is, they know whatever their skill and talent is, but it really is an art to being a good guest, providing value but at the same time making sure you're memorable without giving your URL every answer. How does your company work with clients in that respect?
So I don't do a lot of training when it comes to actually how to be a good guest. So my clients apply to work with us, and I evaluate to see if they are ready for us. So if somebody is not a good guest and they need a lot of work, I will most likely give them some recommendations, point them in the direction of places they can go to improve. But for people that end up working with Interview Connections, they've already got a lot of the nuts and bolts of how to have a conversation. Well, their online presence is good. They've probably been interviewed a couple of times already. If they've not been interviewed, they've never been on a podcast, I always get on the phone with them before I sign them up, because when we're pitching people to podcasters, we want the podcasters to know that, hey, if they're working with Interview Connections, they've already been vetted. So there's not a whole lot of training on how to be a good guest with us. Now, there is, in terms of I'm podcasting about that all the time. I'm doing videos about that. What I work with my clients on is, all right, you got to go on and rock the podcast, deliver a ton of valuable content, and here are some tips on how you can actually generate traffic and leads to your website. All right, do you have a good, clear call to action? Do you have a free offer that is relevant to the people you're talking to? Are you focusing on your relationship with the host and with your guests? Are you, keeping in touch with them after the interview? My client, Jason Swank, he gets almost all of his clients come by way of podcast interviews, and he says 20% of the work is the actual interview. 80% is everything you do outside of the recording.
Mm. Wow. So Jason is somebody that uses the green room strategy as well.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, he's a coach for digital agency owners. He sold his digital agency, built it like a seven-figure digital agency in a year, sold it, and now coaches other agency owners. And so he really rocks it, because he'll go on a podcast as a guest, kill it, give great information, show his credibility, share his story, and people just want to work with him because they're like, oh my gosh, wow, you really know what you're talking about. You have the experience. And then he also hosts two of his own shows. So he can do the flip side where he could go on somebody's show and then bring that host onto his podcast. And that is another strategy that I recommend when you host a show, is if you're going to be a guest on someone's show, if they're a good fit for your podcast, I would encourage you to invite them onto your show as well.
Hmm. So
reciprocating. In fact, I did that today. Yeah, I actually booked you on a podcast today. I was a guest on somebody's show, and you came up in conversation, as you often do, because you're a big part of my story in starting a business. And then in the green room chat, the host said, hey, can you tell me more about your dad? And I said, well, yes, I can. He'd be a really good fit for your show, and here's why. And he was like, yeah, I would love to meet him. So I made the connection, and then I said to Mom, who schedules your interviews, I said, you should invite the host onto Stick Like Glue Radio, because I know this is somebody that's probably going to be a good fit for you. And so by having him on your show, that just gives you another opportunity to deepen the relationship with him and maybe lead to a new coaching client.
That's so awesome. You know what it is? I remember hearing this a long time ago. I don't know where. I might have heard it from Dan Kennedy per se, but Dan said, when you own media – that's one of the greatest mm-hmm. assets you can have, right? And so that's a phenomenal reason to have your own podcast. You don't own the media when you're a guest. I'm not saying it's not equally as important, but when you own your own show and people come on your show, assuming you handle yourself in somewhat of a professional manner, that's really powerful. And same thing when you do videos. Your own book is media. I mean, that's all media.
Yeah, and think about it this way. You could be a guest on, let's just say, because so you said you a couple times, you know, you do 100 interviews a year on other podcasts, but you've been hosting your own show for like 5 years now. Every podcaster that has ever interviewed you, they could choose to delete their RSS feeds and delete the interview, and all of those appearances would be gone. But you know what's not gone? Stick Likely Radio, because you own that media.
Right. Yep, it's very powerful. Let's got about another 5 or 8 minutes here, Jess. Let's circle back to the book itself. I mean, everybody should know why you should do a book, so let's not go there. But you made a big decision to invest in an official book launch. And, you know, I've been watching it. Of course, I'm familiar with, I'll just say you hired Adam Homey, you know, one of my longest-term, you know, confidant and team member here, and you made a decision, which is no small decision. Adam's not inexpensive. I mean, that has no bearing on his quality. It's phenomenal quality, which is why he's not inexpensive. Having said that, you know, so many people, myself included, for the first several books that I wrote, you get so – when you finish your book, it's like, oh, check that off the list. I got to get back to doing whatever else I'm doing. But the work really begins when you finish the book. And getting it out there in a big way. Talk a little bit about that, because I think the same thing, whether you're creating a podcast, how well do you market it, creating anything, it's really in how well it's the push after you actually do what you're going to do. So talk a little bit about the launch that you're doing, right? As you and I are recording this, it's taking off.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I definitely invested in Adam Homey for the book launch, because I've seen working with you, the launch is really where a lot of the work comes in. Obviously, writing the book is a huge amount of work, but it's almost like a totally different task is actually launching it, because there's nothing worse than working so hard to create something, whether that's a brand new business. Like, I remember when I was creating Interview Connections, and, you know, I remember back in the day, Adam also did that website, like creating everything, hitting launch, and then hearing crickets and like, where are the orders, you know? So having a launch plan and then implementing a launch plan definitely gets it in front of the right people. So, excuse me, Adam has been doing a lot. I mean, it's so complicated that there's a reason I hired him to do it. You know, there's emails that go out. There's a launch team. There's graphics. There's an audiobook. There's upsells. It's amazing, and I can pretty much sit back and watch it happen.
Yeah. It that really falls under this the umbrella that a lot of entrepreneurs fall into, which is, oh, I can do that. I can figure that out. And it really is so complex. There's so many moving pieces. It's just you're so much smarter to have somebody who has experience and can do it correctly to handle that for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Jess, what's the last thing I should ask you? What if somebody's thinking about it? They're new, they don't have their own podcast, and they're even apprehensive about being a guest. If I haven't asked you something that can help those people take the leap, what should I ask you and go ahead and answer that question as well?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people will ask. A really common question is, how long does it take to see results? And so the answer to that is that it takes a while. So my biggest recommendation there is that you have to have patience. Podcasting is not a quick fix to a struggling business. If you are struggling, you don't have a lot of sales, there's probably something else in your business that you need to fix before you get it in front of a lot of new traffic. So make sure that before you start investing in podcasting as a host and as a guest, you have a good website, your copywriting is on point, so that way you're actually converting people, you have an opt-in box, you have an email autoresponder series that when people join your list, they're now being nurtured. Those are all some really basic nuts and bolts that you should have in place before you start investing in being a podcast host or a guest. And I would say it's very similar to newsletter marketing, which is what you've been, you know, teaching for years. don't send out a print newsletter and expect all of a sudden people to be calling you up wanting to work with you a month later. Similarly to what you tell people at No Hassle Newsletters, you should probably give it at least 6 months before you expect to see some results. And by that point, yes, you have been investing at least 6 months into this strategy, but it really does work. I mean, I've had people that invest in a whole like 8 months up front with me, a year up front, because they heard one episode of my podcast. So the investment does pay off, but it is not immediate. So you really have to have patience and a long term, you know, you need to be in it for the long haul if this is going to work for you.
You know, that really is a problem, not to go down this rabbit hole, but in, you know, some people call it a microwave society. I want results now, damn it, you know. Whether it's newsletter marketing or podcasting or video, all of this stuff, in my opinion, falls under the classification of relationship building. Building relationships either with your current clients, customers, prospects, fans, followers, whatever. And to think that you can rush a relationship from, hi, I'm Jim, or hi, I'm Jessica, do you want to join my program or do whatever, is just not reality. And I think people, when they're thinking of making an investment in their business, whatever that is, it seems to me that there's a fair number of people that are using short-term ROI as their rule or the metric, and I think they're really short-circuiting the business. I'm sure you probably have that too. If someone, well, if I join now, you know, let's say I do this for a month or two, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but are you finding that too? It's like it's the plague of short-term ROI. We'll call it that.
Yeah, and I've actually been, you know, kind of adding into my conversations with prospective clients. I'll even say, you know, when I talk about, hey, this is a long-term strategy, especially when I talk about the option to invest annually, I say, yeah, it's definitely great if you can invest annually because this is a long-term strategy. You know, some people say, oh, I just want to try it out for a couple months. And by kind of using that tone, they immediately go, oh, crap, I don't want to be that girl or that guy. So I really do tell people that, like, don't go into it with that mindset of, oh, I just want to try it out for a couple months and see if I like it or see what works. Because what you'll – my client, Dave Sanderson, and he's gotten – he saw nothing after 6 to 9 months. There was no results, you know, maybe an increase in traffic to his website. But after that, that's when the paid speaking gigs started coming in. So now he's like, he's sold on the strategy. He knows it works. But he's like, I didn't see anything for probably 6 months. It just takes time.
Dave's awesome, by the way. What a tremendously talented man, and just focused on his mission to you know, help people. And for those who don't know, Dave was the last man off the plane, the U.S. airplane that went into the Hudson River. I think his book's called
Moments
Matter.
Yeah, The Last Passenger. Yep, The Last Passenger. The pilot was the last person. I didn't realize that. I saw him speak, and then he said, you know, then the pilot, I was, well, that makes sense, right? You know, the captain's the last person off. He was the last passenger. And then, yeah, he wrote a book called Moments Matter, and it's the movie that I'm sure people have heard about. It's called Sully, that just came out with Tom Hanks playing the pilot. And so he was really involved in the making of the movie, which is really awesome. So if you ever have an opportunity to hear Dave speak or meet him or listen to any interviews he's done on a podcast, I would encourage people to check him out.
Very cool. Well, Jess, this has been a fun interview. I'd say good luck with your book, but I don't think you're going to need it. You are truly a pioneer and a trailblazer in this industry of podcasting, which shows no sign of shrinking or slowing down. I mean, I think there's probably, and who knows, I don't have a glass ball, but I'm sure there's several years of incredible growth ahead. And the service you provide is incredibly valuable. Again, for my listeners out there who think, well, I can go find my own. Well, yeah, you can, but is that really the highest and best use of your time? Or do you want to have an expert do it for you? So good luck. Well, pardon me for being remiss. Where can people get a copy of your book?
So, yes, again, you can get a copy for free at interviewconnectionsbook.com. So, again, it's interviewconnectionsbook.com. You can get it for free. Just pay shipping and handling, and I look forward to you reading it. So thank you so much for the opportunity to be on Stick Lakely Radio.
My pleasure. I will chat with you soon, and I'll actually see you next week at Dream Business Academy Orlando.
I can't believe it's in a week. See you then.
Okay. Hey, thanks to the Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program for sponsoring today's show. Again, if you want to become one of the members of literally, I believe it's the country's leading group of amazing rock star entrepreneurs, check everything out at dreambizcoaching.com, dreambizcoaching.com. If you have any questions, you can email me right from the site and let me know you heard this on one of the podcasts. And thank you again to my editors and assistants and all of my Dream Business team members for making my life so darn easy. I am your host, Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Thanks so much for listening. You take care.